The Zikr of Hazrat Inayat Khan. We were listening to the music.
Oh.
La Elaha El Alahu. And what do these strange words mean? They mean, there is nothing. Only God is. Whatever it is, it's all God. We may not believe it, but God's hidden hand is in all things. And everyone and everything is used as an agent to guide us towards our true purpose. God's hidden hand is in all things. I'd like to read just a little bit of our lesson for today. We're reading from the Sufi Message Volume 13, The Gathas, on the subject of moral culture, on training the ego, which we've been studying this for a few years now, and it's on the subject of blessed are the poor in spirit. We've heard this many times, perhaps. Blessed are the poor in spirit. One could also say, blessed are the pure in spirit. Blessed are the pure in spirit. Jesus Christ says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Why is not the word ego used instead of spirit? Man's glance, expression, posture, etc. all speak of his ego and tell to what extent it is hard and to what extent it is soft. People seek to disguise the true nature of the ego by diplomatic language and by good manners. But this does not really hide the ego, which is expressing itself in everything they do and say. Every particle of man's body, every particle of woman's body, and every atom of man's mind is controlled by this ego. If there is anything that is meant by the word spirit, as used above, it is this. The least word spoken against it rouses man's anger. Praise tickles his vanity and goes to the heart of the ego. If there is anything that is meant by the word spirit, as used above, so Murshid's kind of getting the idea across here that ego and spirit in this term, if we went back to the original language, it may be saying that idea of selfhood. If we keep that poor and humble, it is better for us. Because here he says, if there's anything that is meant by the word spirit, as it is used above in the quote again, blessed are the poor of spirit, it is this. The least word spoken against it rouses man's anger, and praise tickles his vanity and goes to the heart of the ego. And of course, there's that beautiful teaching that we're given in Buddhism to have equanimity, whether we're being praised or blamed, that we remain the same, that we can remain balanced, whether we're receiving praise or blame. I don't know if it's ever happened in your own life, but it has certainly
happened in mine, where perhaps I was blamed for something, which I knew I wasn't to blame, but I kept my mouth shut. It's a good lesson to not want to defend oneself. And then what happens is, with time, the truth became revealed. And when one can do that, one takes a good stand. You know, it humbles oneself, but in the mind of the one that blamed and we didn't react, it's a good lesson for them too, to not defend ourselves. Blessed are the poor in spirit. When we saw this great lesson, didn't we? When Jesus Christ was convicted to crucifixion, he didn't say a word to defend himself. Ultimate humility, ultimate sacrifice. It's a great spiritual lesson. The practicality of it may be something different, and I leave that to each of you to judge in each circumstance. That's called wisdom. That's called wisdom. I think I'd like for us to revisit in the context of this, in order to reach perhaps a more rarefied state, to work with the elemental breaths. And in this way, we're going to work with them. And if you'll allow me, I'll speak a little bit about each element as we work with the breath. I want to do this because I think it's very helpful for us to be reminded again and again that each one of the elements has a particular quality that we can embrace, enliven, and utilize in our everyday living. I think these teachings are really of little value if we only approach them philosophically. I think they're of great value if we use them in our everyday life. How do we apply them? So most of you here are familiar with the elemental breaths, and I know some of the people, the viewers online, are as well. But I'm going to give the instructions again, just as a reminder. And then, as I said, I'll say a few words about the qualities of the elements. If my speaking in any way distracts you, just go to the focus on your breath and let the words just pass by. So we will begin with the earth element. And that breath is in the nose and out the nose. Breathing in and out. And in and out the nose, in and out the nose. And what are the qualities or characteristics of earth? It's very solid. When people say that someone's the salt of the earth, it means they're a very solid person. The earth grounds us. We know that if there's trauma, the first thing we try to do is put the person on the ground. It can ground and soothe us. The earth represents a kind of confidence and courage. Confidence, courage, strength. These are all qualities of the earth. So as we breathe in and we breathe out, we become a conduit, and all the aspects of our being that are associated with the earth get purified and revivified. The earth element is often associated with the physical body. Its inherent motion is spreading out like a huge landscape in a horizontal direction. Its color is golden, like the beautiful sand color in the great deserts. But as in everything, there is a quality of inspiration, and there's a quality that is hidden that we might call the shadow aspect. And so while Earth gives us courage and strength and support, if we get stuck in that element, it can make one's characteristics appear dogged, stubborn, stuck, self-righteous. So it's good to know this, only because when we find we're drawing forth or expressing those aspects of the earth element, we need to just slightly turn the coin and get the view of the positive aspects. And we can also learn in an objective way that perhaps we're stuck in the earth element and we need to bring forth other qualities or other elements to balance. So again, we breathe in the mouth and out the mouth. I'm so sorry, in the nose and out the nose. In the nose and out the nose. As we move up the elemental scale, we move to the element of water. While earth is solid, water moves. It moves around all obstacles. It has an aspect of gracefulness and of kind of graciousness. It takes everything into itself and dissolves it. We breathe in the nose and out the mouth. In the nose and out the mouth. The direction of water is like water running down a great waterfall or flowing downstream. Water always finds its way to the lowest point. In that way, the water element teaches us how to be both gracious, grateful, and humble, to be fluid. In the mouth and out the nose. Like all the elements, water too also has a shadow aspect. So if one's emotions are hypersensitive, or one finds themselves crying a lot, of course this is part of the water element. We can work with the element to bring emotions into balance. And we also know that the act of bathing involves the water element for an outer kind of purification or ablution. But think how much of our own body is made of water. Purification through the water element. And then we move up the elemental scale to fire. And that breath is in through the mouth and out through the nose. The direction is vertical upwards. We breathe in through the mouth and out through the nose. And what does fire give us? It gives us warmth. It gives us light. It's an element of aspiration. We see this element brought into all sacred rituals. The flame itself standing straight and upright in a salutation of respect and reaching upward, upward. Aspiration. And this element can give us a warmth of character, kind of humor, a light. It can illuminate our path. But if the element is out of balance, we can be very quick to anger. We can be impulsive in our desires. And of course, observing this and bringing the element into balance is wise and healthy. Fire element can burn us and burn others. It can actually destroy everything in its way. So let us invoke its warmth, its aspiring qualities, its illumination, by breathing in the mouth and out the nose. In the mouth and out the nose. The next element is the element of air, and this breath is in the mouth and out the mouth. In the mouth and out the mouth. This is the element of our mind. Even if our body is confined to a small space, if our mind is spacious and open, we feel free. Air is all around us, but we can't box it up or put it in a jar necessarily. It's something we move through and that moves through us. Breathing in the mouth and out the mouth. Whereas fire is an element of aspiration, air is the element of inspiration. Just think of how you feel when you're looking at a vast landscape and you feel that spaciousness, or into a clear blue sky. It's very uplifting. And while it's the element of mind, it can offer us inspiration in the arts of all kind. It's the element of artists and the creatives. Theoretical dimensions come out of the element of mind. If the air element is out of balance, one can feel a little out of sorts in one's thinking. One can feel a little spacey, we use that term. One can feel ungrounded. It's good to then think of the earth element if that is so. But if one is wanting to be inspired to write, play music, draw, even for a student, this is of course a very good realm to invoke and element. The ideal, of course, is all these elements are in balance and clear. And the last element is the etheric element, and this is the element of spirit. We breathe very subtly, again in and out the nose, but the breath is so still that it is almost as if the breath is breathing us. This element is the culmination and dissolution of all elements. In all traditions, they talk about beginningless time. This is the element of beginningless time, of the infinite, of the ultimate. It is said that the Sufi practices dying before death. What does that mean? It means to let go of that idea of self and to become poor in spirit. And being in touch with this etheric element gives us a hint, a a hint of what that beginningless time is and always will be before we took this form, before any element takes its form, where all potentiality exists, from which everything evolves and to which everything returns. And while we are in this more rarefied, refined state, turn your awareness to your heart, your physical heart, but deeper than that, your spiritual heart, the place of feeling. So it may be a place that you identify at the center of your chest, but it can radiate in a larger space all the way from the belly button to the base of your neck. You can feel it if you tune there. One's spiritual heart. And with each out-breath, consider letting this phrase be repeated silently. And think of it. Open my heart as you breathe out. So it's as if you are on the inside knocking. You know, Jesus also said, knock and the way will be open. So you're inside knocking at the door of your heart. And with each out-breath, the doors open a little wider and a little wider. Open my heart. When the doors are open, like opening the doors to our home, what do we see? This beautiful collection of this space, which we call home. We often do another practice, this is not my heart, this is the altar of God. This is not my heart. This is the altar of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my heart. This is the altar of God. So again, as we breathe out, open my heart, and we breathe in, that thy spirit it may reflect. Open my heart, that thy spirit it may reflect. Open my heart, that thy spirit it may reflect. And it's as if the doors are opening and this beautiful, radiant, all-embracing light flows from your heart out. Open my heart that thy spirit may reflect. So for the remainder of the class, we'll be going back and forth between the readings and the practice. The readings and the practice. Okay. Are there any comments, anything anyone would like to share, or any questions that anyone might have regarding the practice? And moving on. Again, from the teaching, Blessed are the poor in spirit. And now the question arises, if this ego is the chief thing in man's development, why should we fight against it? Is it not the essence of man? The answer is that there is the spirit of man and the spirit of God. These two are different and yet the same. Open my heart that thy spirit it may reflect. My and thy. Does anyone want me to read that again? Looks like some people are processing here. And now the question arises, if this ego is the chief thing in man's development, why should we fight against it? Is it not the essence of man? The answer is that there is the spirit of man and the spirit of God. These two are different and yet the same. Open my heart that thy spirit may reflect. Breathing out, open my heart that thy spirit it may reflect. And I think it's very wise for us to use English, but I think also these ancient languages are very powerful. They carry with them a vibration from thousands upon thousands of years. And for that reason, I'd like to emphasize this practice with the sacred word kadus. Kadus. It's spelled Q-U-D-D-U-S, kadus. Now read just a little bit from the text Physicians of the Heart about kadus, and then we'll do the practice and see what it is that you experience. Kadus is the ever-purifying one, the ever-purifying one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the pure in spirit. Kadus is the ever-purifying one. It requires us to take leave of what we cling unto in order to experience intimate union. Of course, union with God, perhaps one could say with another human being. Kadus allows the spiritual traveler to transcend the lower self and keep going towards the One, like in our invocation, towards the One, towards the One. Kadus is the force that constantly cleanses us from the conceptual mind and its differentiations. So all that thinking that can confuse us sometimes. It is continuously purifying our experience of the world through inward intimacy and union with the Absolute. La ilaha el Allahu. There is nothing, only God is. Yakadus, Yakadus. So as we have the recitation of this sacred name, we'll do it in the form that we're accustomed to, where we're saying the word first aloud with the prefix Yah. Then we move into the second series, which brings the vibration into a more subtle realm, more inward, and we drop the Yah, and we just say the word kadus, kadus, in a whisper, and then the last series we'll do silently, feeling the vibration inwardly of the ever-purifying One, capital O on One, or one could say the ever-purifying God. My Murshida, Murshida Vera, always gave this practice in this way, so I'll share that with you. Yakadu. Yakadu. Yakadus. You feel the vibration. Pay attention. pay attention to how this you feel inwardly when you say it in this way. Yakadu. Yakadu. Yakadus. 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 Whisper, Kadus, 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 Kadus. Silently. There is a second practice that I'd like for us to do while we're in this sustained subtle state. The practice is Kabit Basit. These are two polarities that we do together, Kabit and Basit. Kabit is this all expansion, the quality of divine expansion. Basit is this quality of divine contraction. So it's this undulation of expansion and contraction. Expansion and contraction. Reading again from the text, Physicians of the Heart. Basit is the divine quality of expansion. I had those reversed, I'm sorry. So, yeah, Kabit is the contraction. Basit is the expansion. Sometimes you'll hear it pronounced Basit. It's dialectical. And Kabit, the quality of contraction. These are temporary states of ecstasy. The ecstasy of complete expansion, dissolving into the all-pervading, and this intimate contraction into this point, the zat, as Sufis call it, to this finite, intense point. You might almost think of it like a big bang, where it's Basit, Kabit, Basit, Kabit. This is sometimes referred to as entering into a spiritual state. States such as these are always contracting and expanding, and this expresses quite clearly their transiency. So they're fleeting. They're fleeting. No need to cling. No need to get identified. Rather to experience. When viewed from the standpoint of human beings, Basit or Basit expresses the vast expansion of self and ultimate absorption into the one and only being, like a sugar cube in water. So we dissolve into that expanded state. But this state of absorption is transient. As the state departs, Kabat expresses itself through contraction into the limitation of individual selfness. So, two views that appear as two views, but not two, one. Not two, one. The unlimited, the all-pervading, the contracted, and the limited. These oscillations are the repeated experiences of those who have begun to take the spiritual path. Who've begun to take the spiritual path. And those of us that can remember being enlivened to take up the path, or perhaps we remember going to retreats where we felt totally uplifted and expanded, and we thought, oh, now I've gotten somewhere. I shall never return to that previous state. And of course, you stop at the nearest restaurant or store and you know you're right back in it again. But over time, it's like elastic. It gets looser and looser and it doesn't snap back so fast. So we can recognize that. We're able to sustain or recall that state even if we need to. Okay? So let us do this practice together. And we'll do it in a kind of chant as well, but not as sustained as Caduce. And see what you experience, what you feel. And you might even, in this instance, use your head as a kind of a body prayer and indicator. With Kabat, the head comes down into more of a contracted state, and Basit, the head opens up into a more a kind of glorification or an expanded state. Nyan Kamen Nyamasit Yakabin Yamasit Yakabin Yamasit Yakabin Yamasit Yakabit Yamasit Yakabin 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 Yamasit. Now just whisper. Turn to the breath. The out-breath, we think Basit, expansion. On the in-breath, Kabat, contraction.